Sleep. Just curious, how many would say you got a good night's sleep last night? You thought you did pretty well? Oh boy, that's not a whole. How many would say miserable night, tough? Oof, yeah, about equal on the good and the bad. Everybody else is kind of average in there. Sleep can be such a wonderful thing. And trying to sleep can be such a miserable thing. There's no lonelier time than the middle of the night. And you're trying. Have you ever had one of those days where you're getting to bed a little bit late? You know, you got to be up early the next day. So you got to hurry and fall asleep. All right, I need to get some rest now. I need to hurry up. It's one thing you just can't hurry. And the more you try to sleep, the less you're able to sleep. It was a strange morning for me this morning. I was having a dream that I lived in Boston and we were defending the city against the British. I have no idea where that came from, but I'm glad I woke up and I didn't have to fight in the war any longer. It was just time to get up and go. Have you ever had those mornings where you could stay in bed if you wanted to, but your mind just goes to crazy places, so you might as well get up and live? Why stay there in the misery of it all? Though you feel like you need some more rest or what have you, you might as well face real life, because real life is actually better than your dream life or nightmare life, whatever you might want to call it. Nights like that, it can get so. And we're going to talk about that today, the difference between night and day, the difference between darkness and light. We used to be darkness, but now we are light, is what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Father, we ask you for your help this morning as we look into your word. We get messed up sometimes. We miss the mark. We get lost. Would you help us to brighten up a little bit today? And we'll thank you for your help here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me see if you were paying attention. We were once what?
Darkness.
Very good. But now you are? Light. Once darkness, now you are light. There needs to be a moment, maybe a number of moments in your life, where you stop and make a decision, a declaration of who you are and who you no longer will be. If you think about it, that kind of encapsulizes salvation. Salvation is really a decision that you make. Now, I know a lot of us came into the faith in an emotional moment. Maybe we heard a sermon or the Lord spoke something into our heart. We felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we had an emotional release as we surrendered to the Lord. Maybe we were in a service and the pastor led us in the sinner's prayer. Or maybe we were at Morningstar and whoever was ministering to us said, would you like to pray to receive Christ as your Savior? And so we went through a little bit of a prayer. And so there might have been an emotional response. I've had people say to me after I've prayed with them, wow, I feel like the weight of the world's been lifted off my shoulder. I feel so clean inside. I feel so good. But salvation is not so much a feeling as it is a fact. And in your mind, when you make up your mind, the Bible says if you believe in your heart, that's a decision you make. I'm going to believe Jesus Christ is Lord. He died on the cross for me. And confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. So it has to be a moment, a place, where you've decided to make a turn in the way you live. I'm no longer going to be darkness. I'm now going to be light. I've made a decision now. I'm not going to be who I was. I'm going to follow after the Lord. Sometimes I fear that we give people a false sense of security when we pray a sinner's prayer with them, and they think that they said these words and now they're good to go to heaven. But nothing has changed in their heart or in their mind. We have to be very careful that we are following up our words, our prayer, with a life that follows hard after God. I used to be darkness. I used to be. You see that? Be. You were darkness. Not just darkness was it, but you were part of the problem. You were part of the situation. You were darkness. I dwelled in darkness. I enjoyed darkness. Now I'm light. I enjoy all the tendencies that light has to offer. When you are changing your taste buds, when you are changing your appetite, that often takes a season. It takes a revolution within your being. Scott, last Sunday morning, we were at the celebration for Sam. Scott Bortner, I looked at the guy who was in a t-shirt. I said, dude, what happened to the rest of you? He said, well, I lost 70 pounds. I said, you lost 70 pounds? Yeah, he said, I cut out all sugar and wife's making this stuff instead of that stuff. So it's not like you're going to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I hate chocolate cake. No, there's got to be some decision going on. Maybe it even has to do with a doctor talking to you and saying, you know what, dude, you're in trouble here. You've got to do something about this, or maybe you've even had a heart attack, had an episode, and then everything has to change. The Mitchells, the beautiful family that comes in, John had a heart attack not too long ago, and I noticed the whole family came in skinnier after a couple of months, and I said to Amy, I said, you changed the way you're cooking, didn't you? She said, oh, yeah. And there has to be a change. There has to be a moment, a decision in your life. Well, why would I want to change? Well, that's a good question. Have you assessed what life means, what happens next, what is worthwhile, and what isn't? The older I get, the more I admire people who have stayed with Christ, people who have chosen monogamy over adultery. You've seen people that fooled around. They looked like they were having fun in the moment, but the aftermath was so devastating and such a sting. I admire those who stick with the program of God, because those who surrender sobriety for addiction, virginity for compromise, it's just sad. There are benefits, there are pleasures in adultery, in addictive behaviors and compromise, but they are short-lived and the damage they do can be completely debilitating. They steal much more than they give. I think this is the great danger that's happening in our public education system right now. We're actually educating our youth to go out there and just go ahead and try. There are no absolutes. There are no rights and wrongs. And so go ahead. What harm can it do? What harm can it do? Friend, open your eyes. Take an assessment of what has happened since our culture has made a turn. So yes, there are benefits, pleasures in adultery, addictive behaviors, and compromise, but they're short-lived. And the damage they do can completely debilitate somebody. They steal much more than they give. The patience necessary to allow the fruit of godliness to ripen can be difficult to endure, especially as the world plunges headlong into its hedonism. But their benefits are far superior. Did you catch what I'm trying to tell you there? You can run with the world and everybody's laughing and seemingly to have a good time. But all the consequences of having done that. It can seem pretty hard to follow after the Lord, especially while everybody else is partying and having a good time. You say, is it worth it? Is this good? But your life ripens into this beautiful scenario that you could not have imagined when you were younger. And you look around at so many of the shipwrecks all around you. You were darkness, but now you are light. Sometimes it feels so good to be light. Sometimes it's just frustrating. Anybody had these thoughts recently? I can't believe how stupid the world has become. I can't hardly listen to the nightly news any longer. I can't believe what they're putting forward as truth, these revisionists, not just of history, but of what is called truth, revisionist all the way through. So assess your lifestyle. If its benefits are not worth the struggle, then make a change. If you are a Christian, if you are following after Christ, and you say, you know what, this just isn't worth it, well then you are free to walk at any time. But I'd like you to look at the alternatives and look at the end of all of the things that are offered by the world. If you want an inheritance from God, you're going to have to stay the course. If you want the goodness of God, if you want the prosperity, if you want all the promises of the Lord true in your life, you're going to have to stay the course. Just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away. Now, that's maybe not real good preaching. Not every day is a weary day. Every day with Jesus better than the day before. We're kind of bipolar, I know, when we sing it. But read the Psalms. Isn't it kind of bipolar? You read one, oh, hallelujah, the Lord has delivered me and everything is great and sunshine. And you read another one that says, oh, Lord, how long are we going to suffer like this? You give up on us forever? And then the Psalm ends. You're thinking, wait a second. But if you want the benefits, the good stuff, you're going to have to stay the course. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Find renewal in that relationship. Start over again right there. Find out who your kids were created to be. Don't try to make them into what you always wanted them. They've got special gifts and talents. They are uniquely made by God. And help them to discover just who they are. And stay with that path that God created them for. As believers, we need to quit staring at the dark woods beyond and wondering about all that the world is doing. Turn our back on the woods and back toward all that God has provided for us. Say, Lord, you promised joy. Where's my joy? Lord, you promised peace. There are a lot of people, even folk who work professionally as ministers, who have no peace. They're so stressed, they're ready to pop. We need to get back with God. God, where are the things you promised? This is why I'm following after you. As Peter said, Lord, who else would we go? You alone have the words of life. When you speak it, it wakes us up. It helps us to live. Where else are we going to go for the juice, for the nectar that brings us alive? Do what you're created to do. You got a job. Just go to your job every day. Well, is that the job that the Lord has for you? If it's just a job and you hate going there, and one of two things has to change, either your attitude or your job. You know, don't feel stuck. Don't feel in misery. Either God will give you a different way of looking at it, he will bring some relief somehow. And there, now all of us go through seasons. But I'm not sure that season should be 40 or 50 years. Lord, what was I created to do? Who was I created to be? If you have to go to school, then go to school. As a calling from God, be a missionary there. Light the place up. You were darkness, and you go to school with a lot of darkness. Be light. Go ahead and light it up. Be who you were created. Oh, the world's got enough darkness. You don't have to fit in. Let me give you a word of encouragement. You're not going to fit in anyway. you're going to feel most of your life feeling like you're not cool. You don't fit in. You don't get along. Embrace it. And just be you. There is one who understands. There's one who knows you. And he'll talk to you all day long. He'll fellowship with you. Jesus, you are my best friend. You will always be. Nothing will ever change that. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He knows. Only God knows. And that's enough. Live as children of light. And it defines it for us. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Be good, be righteous, seek the truth, and you'll be a child of light. Don't be what the world is trying to make us into today. Wild beasts hopped up on hormones, going out to satisfy every lust, every desire. No, be good, seek God, live in truth. But everybody else is acting like a beast. They look like they're having such a time. No, no. They are darkness. You are light. Don't go there. Oh, you can try it. You'll be amazed at how empty it is and how hollow. The jokes aren't funny. The time isn't good. The pain that follows is tremendous. They literally are feeling their way along in the darkness. It's as if they are blind. I find verse 10 interesting. And find out what pleases the Lord. Find that out. Do you know what God makes God happy? Do you know that? Now, there are a lot of general things that Paul tells us that we can study and say, offload all malice and anger and bitterness and strife. Take on all love and kindness and gentleness. That's all good. Find out what God... But there's a dimension of pleasing the Lord that is very personal between you and Him. He made you unique. What will please? Find the will of God for your life. Find the will of God for your life. It's not just all in general terms. Every Christian should do this and every Christian should do that. No. You have a specific call in God. Lord, where do you want me to work? Lord, what club do you want me to join? Lord, what activities should I be involved in? Lord, how should I act even today? Find the will of God for your life. Shape your personality accordingly and go after it for all that you have. Find out what pleases the Lord and do that. I find out a lot of stuff that doesn't please the Lord in me that I thought was pretty good stuff. And He's called me up short on some words that I've spoken, some things that I've done. I thought it was funny. I thought it was good. But they're not pleasing to the Lord. No, find out what pleases God and do that. If you find God's will for your life, if you seek after His will, you'll find joy, you'll find fulfillment, you'll have so few regrets and many happy memories in it all. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, verses 11 and 12, they're a little contradictory, don't you think? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. How am I supposed to expose the deeds of darkness if I'm not even supposed to mention them? You know, it's shameful even to mention that stuff. But there's a truth in each one of these poles. And in the first place, have nothing. Don't go, but expose. You've got children coming up behind you, grandchildren. You got people around. Expose the fruitless deeds of darkness, the emptiness of it all. Yeah, how's that working for you? Well, hey, we did this week. Yeah, how'd that work out? How's it working for you? What's the end result of sinful behavior? What's it done to your wallet? What has it done to your health? When we expose the shameful deeds of darkness, we explain to our kids in graphic terms, this is what happens. This is what happens. We have friends, we have relatives who are dying because of the results of having spent a lifetime of smoking. I appreciate a number of the commercials they put on TV now of people who, you know, they're emaciated and so on. And my advice to you, you know, is to, you know, talk while you can, because after they take your voice box out, it's not so easy. You know, that stuff like that. And yeah, that's what happens. And us old people can tell you, young people all the time, friend, your life goes by like that. You think you have all this time, you're going to get it all turned around, it's all going to be fine. No, it goes by in the blink of an eye. And you're suffering the consequences of those seeds that you planted early on in your life. Those accidents that take place where people are killed or they're mangled or they're a vegetable because some moron was drinking before they got in the car. I have a good friend of mine from Shanksville, Rob Stemple. When I pastored in Shanksville, they were very good friends. Our kids were growing up together, so on. So Rob was on his way back from having done a little bit of a concert, and a lady who was drunk crossed the center line, hit him head on. He's been blind for I don't know how many years now. I've been here, what, 30, 35 years, so probably about 34 years. He never laid eyes on his youngest son. His wife was pregnant at the time that he was in that car accident, all because somebody, did she not know the rules? Of course. But because of somebody's ill decision, their own life, or even worse, somebody else's life can be affected. Tell your kids about it. Show it to them. Show them the consequences of what's going on. The world's not going to show that in their commercials. All those skinny people playing volleyball, that's not the end result of having gone to the party all night and all that's going on. Educating others as to the effects of sin is exposing those sins for what they really are. This is what happens. You want to gamble your life away? Well, it's not just you that it affects. You've got a family that it affects. And if you don't tell them, if you don't make it clear, if you don't explain it, if you don't talk about it along the way as the scripture tells us to, they grow up thinking there's this cute little groundhog that wants to make me rich. Just keep on scratching. You know, just keep on scratching. Well, if you haven't got it, just keep on scratching. Well, you know what happens when a groundhog scratches? They get a hole. And the more they scratch, the deeper the hole becomes. You got to explain that to this generation. They'll think that if they carry this bottle of booze, they'll be welcomed into parties and they'll be out there with all the beautiful people. But the commercials won't show them with bare cupboards, empty refrigerators, mangled bodies. Expose what the commercials never mention. However, it is shameful even to mention what the wicked do in secret. Therefore, don't splash it all over your television or computer screen. Don't teach it in the kindergarten class. Don't expose it to yourself or to others. It's even shameful. I've heard Christians say, well, it's reality. It's truth. It's what goes on. It is shameful even to mention what the wicked, that's what the Bible says. Garbage in, garbage out. You feed your mind and your heart that, your mind is going to go there. That's where your mind is going to be pointed. That's what's going to come out in your behavior sooner or later. And you're going to reap the consequences of that kind of a lifestyle. I guess I was raised pretty well. I never saw the benefits of the sinful lifestyle. It never made sense to me. Cigarette smoke stinks. Alcohol made my friends sick. I saw what happened to people who were caught up in these things. And I've worked too hard for my money to throw it away gambling. I know I've hit this hard the last couple of weeks. I don't know why. I don't normally. But again, it just makes me sick when I see grandma handing $20 bills to the grandson or granddaughter, and they feed that machine in the grocery store. And ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Oh, and then we get the Oh, look, grandma, we've gone $5. But we fed $20 bills into the... Yeah, okay. I can't imagine walking into a casino with $2,000 and walking out with nothing and feeling good about the time I had. Why do you suppose they have all those half-naked women walking around the casino smiling at you? Let me clue you in on something. It's not because you're cute. You're not. They are the hawks and you are the pigeon. You are the mice and they are the cats. Oh, they dress it up so nice. It all seems so good. But after your money is gone, just like with the prodigal son, all that will go away. All that will just disappear. And they won't know who in the world you are. I've had people warn me not to go too hard on smoking, drinking, gambling, or even immorality, because so many people, even in the church, are caught up in those things. And we don't want to offend our audience. But you know what? The days are shorter now than they have ever been before. All this stuff we see going on in the world, we hear about on the news. The Bible says when you see these things happening, look up, because your redemption draweth near. Jesus is coming back very soon. So how do you want him to find you? It's time to wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. It's time for the church. It's time for you and I to wake up. If you can't see by now that what Christ offers is so far superior to anything the world has, you've missed the point completely. We love Jesus. Well, because we'll go to hell if we don't. No. We love Jesus because he's so lovable. If you get to know him, you'll want to know more. We follow the Lord because his benefits are so much better than what the world has to offer. Take that moment today. Where's the direction of your life headed? Make a conscious, intelligent decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I'm going to go. I'm going to follow. He alone is the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?